extraordinario.
Me impresiona mucho.
Pues, ¿sabes qué? Yo creo que no es tanto el físico, es más bien la personalidad que tiene y todo lo que proyecta.
Ya me lo imagino con sus ojos blancos, con Martín en una mano y un costoso abad en la otra.
Provocativo. Atractivo.
A new stereophonic sound spectacular.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP. This is a new departure in language instruction for English-speaking people who want to talk to and be understood by jazz musicians, hipsters, beatniks, juvenile delinquents, and the criminal fringe.
Bonjour madame, bonjour monsieur. Nous allons, grâce à ce disque créé spécialement pour vous, essayer de tirer ensemble le maximum de qualité sonore de votre chaîne Haute Fidélité.
Sit back, relax, and close your eyes.
Welcome to the Business Agility Podcast, broadcasting from the heart of Montreal, where we dare talk all things agile, conscious leadership, and freedom lifestyle for entrepreneurs you won't hear elsewhere. Here's your host, Alexander Frederick Jolie, known as Coach AF.
Isn't it amazing, beautiful people? Welcome. Probably there's echo here. I'm back. I'm back at the Crew Collective studio. I hear myself. Let's see. So please, guys, I see 11 people right now, apparently. Is it? I don't know. I'm not sure. According to the studio, there's 11 people watching us live this Friday. And let's do this, please. Yes, let's put ourselves in the full on quality of present with Ne Pas Déranger. So as Elizabeth just mentioned you, I'm your host, Coach AF, live from the Crew Collective and Café in Montreal. Let me just do, because we're live, unscripted, and we're going to talk today about, are we celebrating or remembering the 25 years ago what happened at the snow strip in Utah with 17 guys, and three of them are my great friends. So let's see if we are all good, because it's been a while I didn't do this. I forget my, so let's see this. So the sound, if you watch with an iPhone, the sound is a lot better than the echo that I hear here. So we'll see. Anytime, feel free to tell me in the comment below. Especially if you're watching live this Friday the 30th. Tell me on the chat if something's wrong with the sound. But apparently, according to my feedback here, it's very good. Very good indeed. All right. So without further ado, I'm your coach AF. Yes, I'm your coach as fuck, doing Scrum for years and years. So today, for this first Dare Real Agile of 2026, the year of revelation, the year of disclosure, and I'm not talking about UFOs or ETs or free energy or what have you. It's going to be revelation from within, from ourselves. And a lot of things have been wrote, said, and speak, and shabang about this agile software development, the manifesto for agile software development. So this is the Dare Real Agile podcast, episode 70, since we started in November of 2019. And the question we ask today, and feel free to jump in the chat and also in the comment after. And for the audio listener that I love so much, we reach right now 7,000 people all across the platform for the audio podcast of the Dare Real Agile. It's amazing, guys. Thank you so much. Danke. Muchas gracias. Obrigado. And molto grazie. So the question I'm asking you guys, this community of daring their people, their Scrum Master, are we celebrating in a couple of weeks, the 11, 12, 13 of February, are we celebrating or we are just remembering something in the past, the manifesto for agile software development, isn't it? And so I remember my personal story. Let's start with that. I remember, again, back in November 1999, the other world, the world before the second layer of digitalization of our world, the dot-com crisis and everything. When Mick Callister, a great software programmer, engineer, and architect, and Jean-Yves, they asked me to build a Scrum team and become their Scrum Master for a very complex project and software simulation for training purpose of space agency in Canada and United States. So we did it in secret. Could you imagine that? Back in 2000. In secret of the PMO, the Project Management Office, and also the Vice President of IT. And the result was we won, and we delivered 3 times faster than all other project team using the waterfall approach. So, and remember, 25 years ago, what happening? 2000 was the dot-com bubble crash. And I was an agile militant on the undernet, MARC or Merck, as the American says. Remember this chat room? And I remember that message when I opened the undernet to, when I received it, to sign the manifesto for agile software development. And start uncovering new ways of working together and teach it all to the developer, the UX designer, any people who contribute to produce value rapidly with all of those systems. So what do you remember? What are you celebrating this 25 years later after this thing that didn't make noise? Why? Because 2001, there was so many stuff, including the sad 9/11 that disrupt every news cycle around the year. And it was also the other election, the dot-com bust, and everything. So this is about what I want to kind of discuss today with you. If you're, I see 26 people now joining live, maybe with your lunch. I don't know. It's been a while. I haven't been live at noon. Because that's the thing. The Daily Agile will always be the last Friday of the month at 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central. And so sip to your coffee. And by the way, because between my two lives, the French and the English one, I didn't have the chance to send my highest sympathy. Rest in peace, Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert and this little comic that a lot of team were about Scrum and Agile in the corporate world. So I salute you, my friend. And as Scott Adams will tell us, losers have goals, sprint goals, project goals, product goals. But winners have system. And it's all about system, empirical process control system. Scrum is a system. Isn't it a framework? There's no framework. You could actually build a framework out of Scrum system. You just have to trust and follow the system and you're gonna fracking win. So this is what happened. So before going to the more aspect of editorial of are we celebrating or remembering Agile and what are the next steps? What is the next level Agile as I have here? So I don't remember how Scott Adams used to do the SIP, so I'll come back later for that in respect, because this Friday I take it easy and I want to focus on that conversation. So cheers to you. Latte caramello de Friday. So a little bit of history and the first part, and the second part I will reserve for some comment, especially if people participate. We're going to try to have an interaction. So on February 11 to the 13 of 2001, at the lodge at Snowbird Ski Resort in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah, 17 people met to talk, ski, relax, and try to find common ground. And of course, to eat. What emerged was the Agile Software Development Manifesto. That's the real title, the Agile Software Development Manifesto. Representative from Extreme Programming, Scrum, DSDM, Adaptive Software Development, Crystal, Feature Driven Development. That was the first DD, by the way, Feature Driven Development, The Pragmatic Programming, oh yes, of course, with Uncle Thomas, and others sympathetic to the need for an alternative to documentation-driven heavyweight software development process convene. So they convene together. Now, a bigger gathering of organizational anarchists will be hard to find. So what emerged from this meeting was symbolic. A manifesto of agile software development signed by all participants, by all the 17 participants. The only concern with the term agile came from Martin Fowler. And by the way, Martin Fowler, despite the little story, I'm going to say that, was the first of the 17 to call out these agile institution and community about the agile industrial complex back in 2015 with Daniel Mizik. We're going to come back to that later. So I was like, yeah. The only concern with the term agile came from Martin Fowler, a Brit, for those who don't know him, who allowed that most Americans didn't know how to pronounce the word agile. So that's why sometimes we make fun in the podcast. Is it agile? Agile. Alistair Cockburn's initiative or initial concern reflected the early thoughts of many participants. And I quote, "I personally didn't expect that this particular group of agilites," they called themselves agilites, "to ever agree on anything substantive. But his post-meeting feelings were also shared. Speaking for myself," still Cockburn quoting, I'm quoting Cockburn, "speaking for myself, I'm delighted by the final phrasing of the manifesto. I was surprised that the others appeared equally delighted by the final phrasing. So we did agree on something substantive." So naming ourselves the Agile Alliance, yeah, well, 24 years later, isn't that a great thing, huh? This group of independent thinkers about software development and sometimes competitor to each other agreed on the manifesto of agile software development displayed on the title page of this website, the agilemanifesto.org. But while the manifesto provides some specific ideas, there is a deeper theme that drives many, but not all, to be sure, members of the Alliance. At the close of the two-day meeting, Bob Martin joked that he was about to make a mushy statement. But while tinged with humor, few disagree with Bob's sentiments that we all felt privileged to work with, work together as a group of people who held a set of compatible values and a set of values based on trust and respect of each other, and promoting organizational model based on people, collaboration, and building the type of organizational communities in which we would want to work. So at the core, I believe that agile methodologists are really about mushy stuff, you know what I mean? So about delivering good product to customer by operating in an environment that does more than talk about people as our most important asset. You know, the people, process, and technology. But actually acts as if people were the most important and lose the word asset. So, and the final analysis, the meteoric rise of interest in and sometimes tremendous criticism of agile methodology is about the mushy stuff of value and culture. For example, I think that ultimately extreme programming has mushroom and use and interest, not because of pair programming or refactoring, but because taken as a whole, the practices define a developer community freed from the baggage of Dilbert-esque corporations. A salute to Scott Adams here. So Ken Beck, one of the founders of extreme programming, tells the story of an early job in which he estimates a programming effort of 6 weeks for two people. After his manager reassigned the other programmer at the beginning of the project, he completed the project in 12 weeks and felt terrible about himself. The boss, of course, harangued Kent about how slow he was throughout the second 6 weeks. Kent, somewhat despondent because he was such a failure as a programmer, finally realized that his original estimate of 6 weeks was extremely accurate for two people, and that his failure was really the manager failure. Indeed, the failure of the standard fix-it process mindset that so frequently plague our industries. So, you know, the type of situation goes on every day. Marketing or management or external customers, internal customers and users, and yes, even developers, don't want to make hard trade-off decisions, so they impose irrational demands through the imposition of corporate power structures. This isn't merely a software development problem. It runs throughout Dilbert-esque organization of nonsense. So in order to succeed in the new economy, so that was back then in 2001, we could say the same now with the upcoming upfront new economy, the M2M, machine-to-machine economy, extreme agile economy, the extreme business agility economy. So in order to succeed in the new economy, to move aggressively into the era of e-business, e-commerce, and the web, now we could say moving into the AI, enterprise AI, business AI, customer care AI, assisted everything, every product and professional services assisted by AI, agentic or not. So that's what we could say today. If we have not to reimagine or reinvent the manifesto, as Jim I. Smith mentioned, no, we should do something according to our time right here, right now. So the companies, the businesses have to rid themselves of their Dilbert manifestations of make work and arcane policies and toxic politics. This freedom from the inanities of corporate life attracts proponents of the agile methodologies and scares the bigger girls or the bigger bears, you can't use. It's because in that corporate world, you can't use the word shit. So that's why it's my bigger bears. Are you with me? Anyways, I don't have children. I didn't raise my children in English, so maybe it's whatever. In a professional paper, apparently, but I just did. So out of traditionalist, you know, so let me rephrase it again. So the freedom from the inanities of corporate life attracts proponents of agilistas that preys on these approach systems and scare the shit out of traditionalists. Quite frankly, the agile approaches scare corporate bureaucrats and controllers, at least those that are happy pushing process for process, sake versus trying to do the best for the customers and deliver something timely and tangible and as promised, because they run out of place to hide. So that's the issue. And we still experience it today in all size and all industry, whatever. So anyways, the agile movement, it's not anti-methodology. In fact, and this is true, many of us want to restore credibility to the word methodology in applied science and applied delivery and applied customer experience satisfaction, customer success, we'll say here now in 2026. So we want to restore a balance. We embrace modeling, but not in order to file some diagram or a dusty PSR project status report. No. We embrace delivering what's right, including the right documentation, the right release note, the right guide how to use the project. But not hundreds of pages of never maintain and follow an actionable thing. We plan, but recognize the limit of planning, as Eisenhower quotes in the World War II. Plan is nothing. Planning is everything. Continuous improvement require continuous planning. Agility require moving with ease and having the ability to change rapidly to new information, new input for better outcome right now in the flow of work and the present. And more you do that, more you could have a certain predictability on the overall portfolio of delivery. So we plan, but recognize the limits of planning in a turbulent environment. Those who will brand proponent of extreme programming in Scrum or any of the other agile approach as hackers are ignorant of both the methodologies behind the systems and the original definition of the term hacker. Yeah, because back in the day, as I said, my first two Scrum teams in 99-2001 had to hide it from the PMO because their perception of extreme programming, pair programming, and feature-driven development, including Scrum, and Scrum was using them to help them. So what they say was typically that we were hacking the system. And a lot of people were vocal about it back then on the Merck website and chat room. And that's why we had to correct that kind of perception. But anyway, most importantly, remembering Snowbird 2001, 25 years ago, the meeting was incubated at the earlier get-together of extreme programming proponents and with a few outsiders, organized by Kent Beck at the Rogue River Lodge in Oregon in the spring of 2000. At the Rogue River meeting, attendees voice support for a variety of light methodologies, but nothing formal occurred. During 2000, a number of articles were written that reference for category of light or lightweight process. A number of these articles referred to light methodologies such as extreme programming, adaptive software development or ASD, Crystal, and Scrum, of course, the empirical process system that is Scrum. In conversation, no one really liked the moniker light, but it seemed to stick for the time being. In September of 2000, Bob Martin from Object Mentor in Chicago started the next meeting ball rolling with an email. And I'm quoting Bob Martin here. I'd like to convene a small two-day conference and the January or February of 2001 timeframe here in Chicago. The purpose of this conference is to get all the lightweight metal leaders in one room. All of you are invited, and I'd be interested to know who else I should approach. Bob set up a wiki site, and the discussion raged on both Merck and this wiki. Early on, Alistair Cockburn from the Crystal Method waited in with, as he's so good at it, with the hospital that identified the general disgruntlement with the word light. And I quote Alistair Cockburn and one of his messages on Merck, I don't mind the methodology being called light and weight, but I'm not sure I want to be referred to as a lightweight attending a lightweight methodologist meeting. It somehow sounds like a bunch of skinny, feeble-minded, lightweight people trying to remember what day it is. So, the Fearcrest debate was over the location. There was serious concern about Chicago and winter time. Yes, because the windy city, among other things, cold and nothing fun to do. So Snowbird, Utah came up, cold, but fun things to do, at least for those who ski on their heads, like Martin Fowler tried one day. And Anguilla in the Caribbean. Yeah, warm and fun, but time-consuming to get to. And the end, snowbird and skiing want out. However, a few people, like Ron Jeffries, wanted a warmer place next time. So it was supposed to be a third meeting, and next time it never really happened, because after the ball kicked out in all direction to come to today. So we hope that our work together back then at this, what they call themselves, the Agile Alliance, helps others in our profession to think about software development, methodology of delivery, and organizational structure towards better interaction of people. So more agile ways. If so, we accomplish our goal. If not, we had failed delivery 25 years later. Part of what I read was written by an article on the agilemanifesto.org, Jim Highsmith, in 2001, and I put my commentary. And maybe I would like to take a break from my voice before going to my editorial and showing you the next sprint, because it's going to be also a commemoration of the Agile Manifesto I'm going to do at my French program on Friday the 13th, exactly the date it was signed in. By the 17 gentlemen. So it's going to be in French at 9 a.m. at Un Café avec Frédéric. But before that, I would like, if you don't mind, and yes, to answer the question of Jennifer on the chat room, why did I choose to be not at my Agile Lounge West, but at the core of the Agile Lounge and the Crew Collective? It's really simple, and let me show you a teaser, guys, and it's an invitation as well. I would like to invite you. Now, for the date, I have to double-check with the owner here, because we said Wednesday the 14th. However, Elizabeth told me when she was doing this marketing that the 14th is a Tuesday. So I just want to verify if the calendar of the Crew Collective, it's really for the Wednesday evening, so we changed the date for the 15th, or she really meant the 14th that was available for then a date that will stay the 14th for the Tuesday. So the Agile Lounge will celebrate its 10 years. So 10 years of excellence. And there will be a new era that began with Agility AI, Agile Intelligence, call it whatever they want. But for me, I call it Adrian. Adrian AI, your best agentic product owner for now, but you could come a lot better thing with the help of Claude, because we work closely with Anthropic to bring you the goodness of extreme agile with Agile Intelligence and Adrian. And so we're going to celebrate 10 years of Agile Lounge. Agile Lounge still exists. We still do great workshop here. And by the way, could I see it on this services? Sorry about the lateness thing. It should be there somewhere. Yeah, the advanced training. So anyways, I'm not really unprepared. You know me, I'm on cut and everything. So the most important thing, so what's going on? I thought I was sharing my screen. Ah, sorry about that. So let's do it again. That's my bad. Here we are. So, yes. So that's what I was describing. For the audio podcaster, you kind of don't mind. But for those who are watching live this Friday, the 30th of January. So this is it. So again, save the date of the 14th, 15th of April for now. More communication will hit your way for celebrating 10 years of excellence and also upcoming from the present and the future of what's going to happen for the next 10 years or maybe the next 25 years. And we also celebrate the Crew Collective, because the Crew Collective was also founded in 2016. So the collective, the co-working open. Agile Lounge was one of the first organization within the set of startup and entrepreneur. We had also Envision AI with Thomas. We had Unsplash that become now one of the greatest provider of photo splash and photo stock. And they, of course, the original crew.co for a group of networking of entrepreneur. And as I was telling you now, I'd like to bring you back because what is Agile again? Just a refresher, because a lot of people have an opinion of Agile. But the truth of the matter, if you go to the source, you know, us at the Agile Lounge for Business Agility, we are all about the real McCoy, the real thing, the source of truth. And with the help of Jason Little back in the day, of course, this is me, but the seven basic things any agilist and new adopters should know, it's still relevant today. And Jason Little set it up. I review it with my team because we wanted to do a French translation authorized by him. But while translating it in French, me, I don't do translation for translation. I bring the culture of the language as well. And we identify we're all bilingual. And at some point we said, like, hey, even the French version give another sense, an updated sense of it. So anyways, I would like to read you, and I think for those who watch, you could see it on your screen right now, my agnostic and objective introduction definition, because, and this you'll see, it's inspired by my mentor and friend, Mike Beadle, the late Mike Beadle, and of course, one of our great colleague, Mark Sheed. So Agile is a set of four values and 12 principles that give people, teams, and organization, those three layers within the subsension, we'll come back to this later, a foundation, the really base foundation that will help them to make decisions that result in better software development, product nowadays, and even services, delivering high-quality customer experience and satisfaction, as well as providing a better world of work with satisfying stakeholders and employee experience. And everyone is more engaged when you create that setup. So Agile is no methodology nor a framework. We hope these values and principles, however, will enable you to create what's best for organizing your work and for a better and smarter future and within your organization. So that was from me. This is my writing, inspired by Mike Beadle and Mike Schiss. So, and then the seven basic things, and remember, it's the manifesto start with together, let's uncover new ways of working, new ways of delivering. So these are the basic you absolutely need to know about the Agile. So go out on the beach, at a part of the spring break's coming now. So have you near your fireplace? Take those books. So the origin and the source, of course, the Agile Manifesto, the Agile Uprising podcast, the very first one with 13 interviews out of the 17. This is great. The Scrum Guide, of course, because once again, Extreme Programming and Scrum, they were the majority. So it's kind of the father and mother of this Agile Software Manifesto. So anyways, I'm going to put the link on a pinned comment of it. And I would like to go now to this great video that I shot impromptu at the Scrum Alliance gathering in 2019 and the world before. So let's hear from one of the 17 co-signers of the Agile Manifesto for Software Development, Jeff Shatterland, the beginning of Scrum, intrinsically going to this, what happened. He will give us insight from what happened in the inside. Are you ready? So let's hear it.
I've done many technological innovations, and every one, in order to leapfrog to the next level, you have to study what's gone before. That means reading 1,000 computer science papers. And so we started. We got lucky because on paper 300, something was written by Professor Takeuchi Nanaka and published in the Harvard Business Review, and it described how Toyota worked and Honda worked and 3M worked, small cross-functional teams working so closely together. It reminded Takeuchi Nanaka of the game of rugby, and they said, we're going to call this Scrum Project Management. And they described how the management at these lean companies set up the teams, how they worked with the teams. They were more like investors. You know, they gave the teams challenging goals. Then they asked the teams, what do you need to achieve the goal? And they would support the teams and let the teams be autonomous in figuring out how to achieve that. And I said, this is perfect. Exactly. It's not only exactly what we do, but it shows how the management needs to function. And we can lay that paper on forward management, and we can sell them the new process. So that became Scrum. It was all completed by the end of 1993, the formal definition. Our own team ran that formal definition beginning in January of 1994. So fast forward now. In 1995, Easel was acquired by BMARC. I'm really concerned that we have this new, not only this new tooling that is selling pretty well, but this new process. I don't want to lose it. I want to get it out of the company. And so I called up Ken Schwaber, who was CEO of a project management software company. He wrote Gantt chart software. And he sold 300 three-ring bindings to all the big consultancies, IBM, Hoopsin Liburm, Ernst & Young, Anderson at that time, now Accenture. And I brought Ken into VMark, and I said, Ken, you know, that stuff you're selling, it doesn't work. You and I both know it. We've worked together before. Take a look at this Scrum thing. It really works. So Ken decided to spend 2 weeks with the Scrum team. And at the end, he said, you're right. So I said, well, how will we do this together then? Because I want you to take this to industry. I'm just internal to the company. I'm effectively the CTO of the company. I don't have time to go out and do the marketing that's needed. Why doesn't your company take this? Let's make it open source and free. And so Ken, to his credit, within 3 months, sold off all his traditional business that focused totally on Scrum. So he was responsible for the industrial launch of Scrum. And as I was working inside companies, I'd have Kent working along beside me in the companies. And so now we have more, we had a lot more research projects to show not only the best approach to Scrum, the best patterns to use for Scrum, the best scaling techniques for Scrum. Ken and I did that all the way up to 2001 in the Agile Manifesto meeting. Ken and I were there, also Mike Beadle, one of the first CEO that took the whole organization to Scrum. Kent Beck, and there were four founders of Extreme Programming there, and a bunch of well-known consultants who wrote books. And we debated for the whole first day about what we were doing, and Mike Beadle had read a lean book from hardware companies. And the lean hardware companies, 100 of them, had created this Agile consortium. They said, we're going to call ourselves Agile, which is lean plus involving the customer in product creation. Okay, so we convinced by the end of the day, those 17 guys around the table, that what we're all doing together, let's call it Agile. And Arlene, who's sitting here, was the only woman at the Agile Manifesto meeting. She was not allowed in the meetings, but she was at all the social gatherings, all the meals, and she got to get the kind of the full dose of what was going on. She can share with you that. The next day, the Agile Manifesto itself was written during a coffee break. Mid-morning, we took a break. Nine of the people went out on the ski slope at Snowbird, and eight of us stayed in the room. And the picture of the Agile Manifesto that's on the web is those eight people in the room. And I'm the guy, and my back is kind of in the middle of the group. Martin Fowler is at the front board, on the whiteboard, and he said, you know, in the 10 minutes we have, I want to know, is there anything that we're going to be able to agree on before we leave this meeting? Because all we've been doing is arguing and debating, and we've only agreed on the word Agile. And he said, you know, can't we talk about what makes great teams? And then somebody said, well, it's all about the people. It's about the individuals and the interactions. And someone said, well, what about tools? And one of the other guys said, well, tools usually slow you down. But we probably don't want to ban them. There might be something useful. So Mark wrote on the board, why don't we say we value individuals and interactions over processes and tools? And then Ron Jeffrey said, and working software, we value over comprehensive documentation. It happened almost as fast as that. And then we got into a long discussion about how do you involve the customer in product creation, because that is the Agile consortium for the hardware lean companies, okay, involving the customer. How does that work? So that came out, customer collaboration we value, or contract negotiation. And then one of the XP guys said, and responding to change over following a plan, because that's the XP mantra. Okay. So it was over almost as fast as I've talked about it. The coffee break ended. The other nine guys came back in. And I remember they looked at the board and nobody said anything. It was just one of those pregnant moments. And Ward Cunningham, probably the most technical guy in the group, was spending many tools that people use this day, said, that's awesome. And nobody changed a word. Now, people have asked me since then, do you think 17 guys in the room could write the Agile Manifesto? And my response has been, no, that's too big a team. But the other nine guys worked it over. And coming in the afternoon, we come up with the principles behind the Agile Manifesto, those 12 principles that kind of explain it a little bit. Okay. And so that was the origin of the Agile Manifesto. At that time, another thing people don't realize is that the only widely deployed processes was Scrum and XP at the time. Everything else was a dream in somebody's eye, right? And so really, Scrum and XP are the father and mother of Agile. And another thing people don't know, Jeff McKenna, the first Scrum coach, asked me one time, he said, what effect do you think small talk had on Agile? And I said, well, small talk is 100% responsible for Agile. The first Scrum team at ESO was a small talk team. The first XP team was a small talk team. Martin Fowler, who wrote it on the whiteboard, was a small talk guy. A lot of people don't understand that. That development in the small talk environment is what enabled the Agile Manifesto. And with the tools we have today, we've yet to get back to as good an environment as we still have with the small talk tools that are still selling. So there's a lot of interesting aspects of this that people don't get. Number one, self-organization doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Number two, Scrum means you're lean first. And the definition of lean is your process efficiency is 25% or more. Does anybody know the process efficiency of your Scrum team? You got one person. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I can tell you
that was me.
At GE, they have Lean Six Sigma guys that actually get the number, and it was 5% there. So that's you're probably down there at 5 or 10%. If you can get that process efficiency up over 25%, your production can double in a week. You see that happen in Indian teams. Just tell them what you need to do, and then boom, they do it. 3 days later, boom, they're done with a two-week sprint. So there are these little pieces of things that are fundamental to Scrum that if everybody understood them better in the Agile community, we'd have even more awesome teams than we have today. So I probably used more than 15 minutes for that, right?
All right, so here you have it from one of my great friend and also coach, Jeff Shutterland, Dr. Jeff Shutterland. Still up and running at the Give Thanks for Scrum every November and organized by Agile Boston, my other great friend, Daniel Mezik. So I miss them so much at some point. So what do you remember? What do you remember of 2001? What do you celebrate for this 25 years? Do you think it's old stuff? When I hear people saying this is old, it is. But it was never fully understood, never fully applied. So that's why people say it's old and not working. But again, as one of my new partner that I can't wait to work with told me a couple of times, he says, like, the Scrum thing, particularly, should be inherent to any developer team. And if they don't want to actually grasp the system, to trust in the system, they will do it with this AI implementation of working together, machine and human, and towards the machine-to-machine at some point. So we'll see if it's a drawings and the highs. But you don't have choice anymore to be agile. Your business don't have choice to have leadership with business agility. And I'm betting you, my friend, for the next 4 years towards this speeding up of the new economy, the new world of work, if you still get your old way, your big dinosaur, your big corporate culture with the PMI, with the old-fashioned project management, you won't be really part of the winner. Because once again, Scott Adams, the late Scott Adams that I salute, rest in peace, my friend, when he says, losers have goals, winners have system, effective system, proven system that continuously improve with new input, and they are evidence-based, manage, and towards output, outcome, should I say, outcomes. What does my customer needs, wants, and how could I please them? So because if you don't create your customer with an offer that they need or something they want, you won't have a business anyway. So that's the basic ground for years and years. But now, with the automation, with AI, if you don't do it in a continuous improvement, continuous integration, continuous development, you'll fail. That's not an opinion. That's not a prediction. That's a common fact that every team who are lean and agile achieve better and smarter and faster than those who are stuck in big structure, big process, big authorization, because that's the thing. Decision rights in Scrum. You could do Scrum, but still be a slave of a PMO. You could do Scrum and still not be able to achieve value for your customer because of toxic politics, because of structure, of following up, while you could just be at the review every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, and have all the information needed for the increment or the delivery of things that happen. People need to move forward. They need to move onward. So for me, the agile software development, the agile product development, the agile leadership, it's far from dead. It's really alive, and not just as an opinion or in my heart, but as uncovering new ways, continuously improving ourselves, working together, accepting our difference, making deals, managing decision and taking decision together, and teach it to others to improve themselves as well, to create a better world of work, a better economy, a better experience for your worker, or if you prefer, your employee. So this is no socialism or communism. It's full-on capitalist in the modern world of a digital era. So if you're with me, give me a like. If you're against me, give me a thumbs up. And I'll see you in French for those who are bilingual. I'll do not the same, but I'll do kind of the same questioning in the same podcast in French on Friday the 13th at 9 a.m. And until then, remember who you truly are as a professional, but also as an individual, as a full-on entirety of your being. You are beautiful, or I prefer to say you are wonderful. You are powerful, and that power reside in your capacity to be free and to choose to be whoever you want it to be and to do whatever you want it to do in respect of one another. And on that, amazing and beautiful people, I wish you a happy weekend. It's February at our doors. The lights are coming up more and more. And until next time, be well.